Well, hello everyone. This is We Watch Stuff. I don't know. We never really deemed it either historic or semi-historic, important or semi-important, number 150. I'm Jeremy. Joining me as always is Shahid. What's going on, man?
Nothing much. Happy 150. That means we are halfway to 300, which doesn't really mean too much because it's kind of like those shows aren't celebrated like 500, 1,000. But hey, I didn't think we'd make it to 100, so here we are.
Well, we always seem to have something to talk about, but this is, and this week is no exception. Let's start with the fun stuff first. I did not see these movies, and I've seen one's namesake, and then the other I saw Jaws. So you saw The Meg and Black Klansman. Let's start with Black Klansman first, just because, like I said, I've seen the, I don't want to say original, because these two movies don't sound like they're in any way related. Other than infiltrating the Klan, what did you think of that one?
Whew. It was an excellent movie. Two, it was like a very powerful movie. Like, it was one of those. It's funny where when people ask me, like, what's the tone? I want to say like drama with a lot of comedy or comedy with drama, but it's kind of hard when it's a story about, you know, a black person infiltrating the Ku Klux Klan, and it's based on, like, you know, a true story, and it's like, how would you play that movie? And I would like to say this one, that's one of the funniest movies I've seen this year, which is hilarious considering, you know, the scope of the movie. I'll say this, like, listen to John David Washington, it sounds like somebody doing an impersonation of his father when he talks. Like, you can tell that's his son. This, even if you didn't, like, see him, if you heard how he talks, it's like, you could picture that voice. Like, you know, like, that voice, it sounds like Denzel, but it sounds like somebody trying to sound like Denzel, if that makes sense.
Oh, wait, that's Denzel Washington's kid?
Yes.
Oh, sounds like I meant Fred Washington. All right.
Especially when he says the word white, he says it white, like it's an H in the beginning, and he kept saying, I don't know if it was like he was doing that on purpose or it was like part of the character, but it's very noticeable. And every time he said it, it was like, one, I wanted to laugh, and then two, he just reminded me of his father. Adam Driver's an excellent actor. Like, I would not be surprised if he doesn't get nominated for supporting actor. Like, he's just awesome when he's in like certain movies, and this is kind of like right in his wheelhouse. And it's just funny to seeing them vibe, because, you know, he's basically playing this Jewish undercover, like, he's the guy that's actually doing all, I gotta meet up with people in the Klan, and half of the movie is like, it's just a job, what's the big deal? And the other guy's like, you know, don't you care, like, you know, you're a Jew, they hate Jews too. And it's kind of funny how their relationship changes and everything. It's just funny how the whole movie goes. It's kind of like he's the first black police officer in Colorado.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's kind of like, you just imagine how that goes. And just hear him, how they, you know, how he interacts with people on the job. Like, you know, some people that's cool, and some people that's racist. And then talking about, oh, you know, I'm cool with black people. Like, you know, some of my favorite black people is like, you know, Muhammad Ali, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and O.J. Simpson. And they spend like 2 minutes on my O.J., like, you know, great man, that commercial. And we're in a theater that's laughing our ass off, like, knowing how O.J. turns out, and just hearing them, like, you know. And it's like a lot of that, like a lot of the comedy stuff that kind of like is timeless, because you know how things turn out now. But it's just funny hearing it then. It's like, you know, a lot of them sound so optimistic, like, you know, could you imagine if they had somebody, when they were talking about like David Duke, like, you know, running for office, like, you really think they could have somebody full of hate and just trying to, like, you know, use hate and massage in a way and make it always to the White House? And people in the theater are like, mm-hmm. Like, basically, like, it's kind of like one of those movies where, you know, you're doing a lot of talking to the screen, because it's almost like the movie's expecting you to kind of talk back to it. And the demographic was weird, because there was a lot of white people, more than I thought would be like a Spike Lee movie about the Klan. And I know one, I'll say this, because I've been jumping around. It's kind of like, you know, the movie has a nice vibe. You see these things happen. It's some, you know, her, like, and then the last 15 minutes, it kind of like, you know, sinks in, like, how horrible, like, you know, Harry Belafonte is talking about how Birth of a Nation you know, came and how it changed the movie industry and, like, basically revitalized the Klan. Like, the Klan had died out before that movie came out, and then the Klan made a comeback and saying, like, you know, he basically told a story about how somebody got lynched. And it's juxtaposed with, you know, the guy undercover getting his Klan card so he can be like, he can go to official stuff. Like, you can't go to a cross burning until you get your card. So he's there with the wives, and they're eating popcorn and watching Birth of a Nation. They're like, you know how people watch Marvel movies and you're like cheering for like Iron Man and Thor? Imagine that. It was like, you know, push that Negro off a building or like run white lady they're going to kill. Like, they're watching like it's like a popcorn movie. And it is just visiting back and forth. And I'm just watching this like, people did that back then. And it's just kind of like, it's different when you hear stuff and then you actually see it. And it's just like, you see that. And then, you know, the movie ends. And then, like, the last 5 minutes of the movie is basically all the stuff that happened in Charlottesville. Because the movie came, like, a year, you know, a year today, like, all that Charlottesville stuff. And they basically showing footage. And I know one lady walked out. I don't know if she couldn't handle it. Like, this old lady must have been in her 70s, 80s. Like, I don't know if she couldn't handle it. She was mad, sad, or what happened. But, like, the whole theater was, like, you know, it was, everybody was in a good mood, everybody was laughing and stuff. And then the last 5 minutes, the theater sound, you know, you watching somebody run over somebody with a car.
Yeah, yeah.
People crying, then it's like just below Trump, like, you know, it's bad on both sides. There's some, you know, I know some of those alt-right people, there's some good people. All they showing is news clips. And just seeing it there in a movie theater in your face is like, the funny thing about that story is that happened back in the day. That movie could have came, that stuff could have happened yesterday. And it's like, you know, the only thing that changed was the haircuts.
Hmm. I guess being a Spike Lee movie, I guess, or is he still calling them joints?
Yes.
Okay, so being a Spike Lee joint, I guess I should have expected that. But it's just, what a, the word I want to say is bummer, but, you know, what a down or dour way to make you leave a theater. Like, because from what you're saying, it all sounds interesting, and obviously he ties it into modern times, and then, like, in that Charlottesville footage, I watched, like, I think I watched a documentary. Yeah, it was that Klan doc, or, whatever it was, on Netflix, and they showed the Charlottesville stuff, and I hadn't actually seen any of the footage from it, and just seeing those people getting run over, like, I was like, Jesus Christ. And that, I knew what I was getting into watching this documentary, but if you're going to a movie like this, and I guess you should have known the director and the subject matter especially, what a horrible way to leave a theater. You know, it's like, oh, okay, this is kind of, and I don't want to say jovial because I haven't seen it, but from your description, all right, it's a little,
yeah.
But then to show that real stuff, it's like, God, fuck you.
But even then, beforehand, before it goes to that, like the last scene of the movie before that stuff is somebody's burning a cross in a yard. Like the cop and this girl he's dating, that she's like in the civil rights movement at Colorado State University. And one of the funny things was like they were trolling David Duke on the phone. Like David Duke is talking to Denzel's son the whole time. He's like, you know, I know when I'm talking to a white person because they pronounce, white people pronounce R the correct way and black people pronounce R. You know, they just have this way of pronouncing this incorrect. And it's like a running theme in the whole movie. And they're like trying to laugh their ass off. Like he has no idea he's talking to this black person to the end where it's like he couldn't help himself. And it's like, are you sure? You know, are you sure? You know, you're talking to the right person. And then his face starts to like break and everything. He realized what's happened. And Topher Grace playing David Duke was kind of like off-putting because he did such a good job of like normalizing him. It's like, yeah, and that's kind of that, and it made me think of like today's thing, and that's kind of the problem with stuff like this is you get used to hearing all these stories and everything, it becomes normal. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't be normal when Nazis are winning Congress and Senate spots. Like that's, and it's got that point like, oh, well, I guess, huh? Like, you know, super, like Lex Luthor being president in the comics always seemed weird. That would be normal now in real life. That shouldn't be normal. Like, you know, it is not a whole, it's different. Like, you know, it's politics and it's like, you know, one side believes in this and one side believe in that. That's, if one side is like, I don't think people that don't look like me should exist as a human. It ain't, that's, yeah, we way past this whole red side, blue side. It's like, you know, I think I'm a human being and you don't think I'm a human being. It's not a whole game where you're getting brownie points. And I think the movie did a good job of kind of like enforcing that. Like a lot of people is like, I don't talk about this. What's the big deal? I'm on the sideline. And even one of the issues of the movie was he's a cop, but he feels like, you know, he wants to do stuff from the inside and work with a system. The girl he's dating, who's the, and the actress is Laura Harris. She was Liz in Spider-Man Homecoming. And I didn't even realize it until after the movie, because her with an afro looks way different than her without an afro in that movie. And she's like, you know, you fight from the inside, you're not going to change. Like, this whole fighting from the inside never worked. You're just going to get sucked in the system thing. And it's kind of like, you hear a lot of that now. And it, like, I thought about Black Panther made like a lot of those arguments. Like, you know, how to, you know, what's the proper way of handling this? And it's really like, no, it's easy to say, you know, why don't you chill and hope things work out? And I'm like, that's easier said than done, like, especially for me. I don't have to go too far to, like, you know, people talking about civil rights and like that. My parents were old enough where they couldn't drink at certain water fountains. They couldn't eat at certain places. My parents. And my parents are still alive. Like, I don't have to turn on PBS or pop open a history book and go that far. Like, and it's funny when I tell people that, it's like, oh, yeah, like, yeah, it ain't that, it wasn't that long ago. And all this. And it's just weird when you think about it, like, you know, it's different when you read about it in a book or you see it in a show, and it's like, you know, civil rights, they really put water hoses on people because they just want to integrate a school. And it's like, yeah, ask your uncle. Your uncle can tell you, like, he was a, like, imagine you got the cookout and y'all eating chicken playing spades, like, oh, tell me the good old days. Yeah, I was, you know, I was in such and such, and they sicked a dog on me because I want to eat a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Imagine hearing that, and then somebody on TV say, just keep your head up and things will be all right.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to laugh, but you know why I'm laughing. It's just, it's absurd. No. It's funny, when you told me that, God, whenever you did, you told me that, I was like, huh? And then you start doing the math, and it's not that long ago. Well, all right. Yes, it is long ago. But it's not long enough to where, you know, I guess you can liken it to World War II vets. Some of them are still alive.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, they're all going to be gone. Doesn't mean it didn't happen, but it makes it a little like, wow, that was World War II, half the world was fighting, huh? And maybe that one doesn't work at all, really. But it's like like your parents' generation dies out, and then maybe the generation after? Is that when we start? Is that when it gets even, depending on how you look at it, worse or better?
To where, I mean, like,
at least it doesn't, at least no one's alive now to where that happened.
I will say this. Part of that is it gets incrementally better, but it's not like that much better. Because it's kind of like somebody like LeBron James wouldn't have existed back then. Like, they had famous athletes, but it wouldn't be like this whole, I'd be one of the richest people in America and I can, like, star in movies and do whatever. Like, you can reach a certain level of thing without issue now that you couldn't. But even then, like, somehow spray painted LeBron James's house.
Well, hell, they're just spray painting his murals.
Yeah. So, like, even it's kind of like somebody like me, I wouldn't be in the position I was now back then. Or if I did, it would just be me. It'd be like, oh, I'm the only black pharmacist in the city. Instead of, like, for me now, it's like I'm the only black pharmacist in my department. I guess that's progress, even though it's still kind of see. Like, I work in Texas, and our department's not that small. Like, and I'm the only black person in my department, and I'm kind of like, it's 2018, and I can kind of say that. And it's like, yeah, like, it's just weird. Like, certain things are better. You know, it's kind of like I can eat a sandwich next. Like, me, you, and Kevin can go somewhere eat a sandwich, and people aren't going to look at us funny.
Well,
so I mean, they'll look at us funny based on the
majority of places, I would hope, yes.
Yeah, based on, they might look us funny, like, based on the shirts we might wear, like, why are these grown men wearing a Bullet Club shirt or something like that? But not this whole, I'm going to call the cops.
Yeah.
No. Hopefully, depending on me, it might go a different way. But the same thing is
how uppity you get. So.
Yeah, but it's like other things, Yeah, haha. But other things, like, hasn't got any better. It's kind of like, you know, people worry about cops then. People worry about cops now. People worry about, you know, getting a house with proper, like, it's places now where it's like, you know, if your name's a certain name, they're not going to hire you for a job because, like, well, we don't hire people these type of names. We have robots that can do backflips, and we still doing stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. We have robots that are basically essentially learning.
Yes.
And we're still doing this stuff. It's like, well, cool. I'm glad we're taking the eye totally off the ball here. And I was watching another documentary about I think it was LIJ or LIR. Basically, it was a new wave radio on Long Island and how they were basically going around the system to get records in from overseas to play because nobody else was doing it. And somebody in the documentary said, you know, it got to the point where everything was the same on radio, and then they started talking politics, and it got to the point where we all realized our government had been monopolizing us and basically putting worth and playing us against each other. And this is back in the early 80s, and I'd never really thought of it that way, to where, you know, no, the government made us compete against each other. And I'm sure, like, people weren't exactly happy about welfare or, you know, any of the social stigma or social finances, however you want to say it back then. But I never really thought of it that way. And now, you know, whenever I hear someone saying, I think Cam had something about paying people $15 for fast food. And that kind of jarred me. I'm like, well, yeah, you know, there are the people that immediately go, no, fuck those people. And it's like, well, wait a minute.
Why are you saying? Because I laugh every time I hear that, and I'm not too surprised because all that stuff is linked. I've told people, like, you can have two people together, and you can give the person a choice. It's like, you can say you make $9 an hour. You can keep on making $9 as long as the guy that's next to you is making $8.50, or y'all can both make $15. Most of the time, that guy's going to still make $9 because, like, I don't want somebody being with me, or Christ, he might be above me. Like, I'd rather be broke than make and be a little better than this guy that's just as broke as me than we both succeed. And that's the American way. America teaches that. The same thing with, you know, they do that with salaries. They do that with athletes. Like, that whole Colin Kaepernick thing, I would be, if I was a fan of a team that, like, you know, my owner thought, well, you know, we could win the Super Bowl or, like, go in the playoffs if we get him, but I think my fans are too racist to accept that, so I'm just going to lose. Yeah, I feel a certain way. It's like, in a place where you should be trying to make as much money as possible, there are people that are like, you know what, I'll make less money to make sure certain people not getting theirs. And people's like, well, that's what you want us to pay for everything? Like, if you got a job, you should be able to take care of yourself. My whole thing is like, you saying it's just flipping a burger. You eating a burger? You eating fries? The person that's flipping your damn burger should at least be able to, like, afford to eat himself. Not, he got to work three jobs. And it's not this whole, I'm starting at the bottom and paying my dues, or I got to do a free internship and all that crap. Who are you doing it for? So some rich asshole can have three boats instead of two? It's not like that. That's the whole thing. It's not like that money will be going to you. And that's why I always tell people that whole, well, if you're paying $15, burgers will cost $25. No, they can raise the price of burgers 6 cents and cover all that. Like, it would have no effect on you. Somebody did the math on that. Like, it would not affect the price of food that much. But people just feel like, you know, they don't deserve it and they don't get that. But as soon as something bad happens, all of a sudden that same person's on a GoFundMe. I need $5,000 because something happened. Why don't you work at McDonald's and see if you can pick up an extra shift then? Would I be wrong for saying that to that same asshole who's like, no, they don't deserve to pay that because it's a low-skill job, even though my fat ass goes there 4 days a week?
Wow, we have really got offhand on this one. I know we've talked about this before, too. It's just, I guess because we a movie with social commentary, so... Mm-hmm. Let's get into something fun. We're not going to solve the world's problems, and plus, we got more of this stuff to come anyways. Mm-hmm. You went and saw The Meg.
Yes.
I wanted to see it. I did not get a chance this weekend. Like, Black Klansman, I figure I will watch when it's on TV. The Meg seemed like something I wanted to see in theaters.
Yes.
Just because of the scope. And I don't know, did it run in IMAX near you?
I'm not sure. Probably. I just know we saw it at 7:50, and it was packed. Like,
One of those movies that did better than the experts said it was going to do.
Because most people think, you know, it's a silly sharp movie with Jason Statham, and it did double what people thought it was going to do. And I know I went there, and I was like, I remember seeing Fridays, like, oh, it's doing better than people thought. And then Saturday, people saying the same thing. I'm like, so let's get there a little early. So we get there, and it's like one of the big, like the biggest theater they have. And when I say pack, I mean like front row pack, like a Marvel movie. And I'm like, all these people out here to see a sharp, like. And the funny thing, somebody made a good point, like, most shark movies make money. Mm-hmm. People like seeing shark movies. Like, if it's a decent movie, it's fun. And I'll say this, it's fun. It knows exactly what, it's kind of like, it's a movie that's silly. It knows it's silly, but it plays it straight. Like,
it looks like a better version of Snakes on a Plane, a more aware version of Snakes on a Plane.
That's exactly what it was. It's kind of like, we're not going to, like, you know, we know it's a silly movie with this dinosaur shark, but we're going to play it as straight as we can. We're not going, like, you know, like wink and nod and anything like that. But it's like everyone kind of knew what type of movie they were in, but they played it like it was, they played it straight. And that's, and Jason Statham is the king of, like, he can do silly stuff and be serious in it, but kind of know, like, you know I'm doing silly stuff. I'm still going to be a professional, but I'm not going to be like a jackass.
Well, see, here's the thing. I think one of the first things you said was it's a shark movie with Jason Statham. Well, his movies make money. And the idea that Jason Statham is he a scientist? Please say yes.
No.
Oh, that sucks. All right. Well,
no, it's even better. He's a deep sea rescuer with PTSD.
What?
Yes.
Wait, from what's the PTSD for? A war? Or
no. Beginning, they were rescuing somebody out of like a submarine that had crashed. And like something that hit the submarine, and that he had to leave like his two best friends to save everybody else. And he got blamed, saying that, you know, you lost your nerve, and you, like, basically they say he lost his nerve. It was no monster and anything like that. And he basically like quit, and everybody's looking at him like, you know, he got divorced, and everybody's looking at him like he's a lunatic. So when they first find him, he's in Bangkok drinking. Like, I ain't going back in the water. And his whole thing is like, you know, all y'all thought I was crazy. Y'all called me a lunatic. I know you didn't come here. Like, it's funny. They kind of play with movie tropes. Like, they know, you know, that you know you've seen movies. Like, example here, they come to save, like, get him for this job. He's like, I know you didn't come all the way here to say hi. You're going to say you need somebody saved. And you're going to say that, you know, you're the only one that can do it. And then you're going to offer me a lot of money. And I'm going to say no to all three things, and I'm going to offer you a drink. Like, basically how movies go. Okay. Like, you know, we got to get this guy. And like, I know you came here to yada, yada, yada. And then you're going to offer me more. You're going to do this. And then you're going to do that. And then you're going to do that. And I'm just going to, let me just say no, no, and no. You want a beer. And basically it's like, you know, I know you're going to say that, but it's your ex-wife. So,
okay, yeah. So that is his kid in the preview then?
No, uh-uh.
Oh.
See, that's the whole thing. It's multiple women with characters. Like, his ex-wife isn't really a big deal in the movie. Like, she's there to get saved in the beginning, and then she's sidelined for most of the rest of the movie. She shows up at the end. No, the kid is it's a lot of people in this movie, and I was surprised that more people didn't die in the movie.
Okay, that's what I was curious about, because, all right, well, one, does that little dog get eaten?
No.
Okay.
But you don't find that out till the end.
Okay.
Because the way they play it, you think he might have. And how it's funny, it's hilarious. Like, it's a little dog there at a wedding. And, like, this Chinese couple just got married, and some of the guests jump in the water, and then the dog want to have fun. He jumps in the water. And then all of a sudden, you see this big megalodon coming. And you see the dog swimming his little legs and stuff like that. And people are laughing their ass off because it's just so funny. That's the thing. Like, the movie is funny. Like, legitimately funny. Like, you know, people keep falling in the water, and it's like, and it's not like the whole thing is, they do dumb stuff, but not for dumb reasons, if that makes sense. Like, everything they do kind of makes sense for the character, even though it's like, why are they doing this? Like, you know how you ask these questions, like, it wasn't like Jurassic Park, where it's like, why is he sticking his head in this dinosaur's mouth?
Yeah,
none of that dumb. Yeah, it's none of that dumb shit. It's kind of like, you know, they're saying, oh, you know, why are we going down here anyway? And it's like, you know, we gotta do this to save our friends. The black guy's like, when they finally get, you know, it's the part where it's like, maybe we need to go and hunt this shark. And they're like, why? We're here in this deep sea, you know, station, perfectly safe. This shark just ate two submarines and killed two of my friends. We don't have any guns, and y'all gonna hunt them? Like, and he's like, for what? And we people think the same thing. Like, yeah, why? like wait that shit out. And it's like, well, you know, if we don't stop them, they're gonna, you know, it's like, it's in China. It's a whole bunch of people in the water in China. We don't want them eating a million damn people at the beach. And they show the beach, it's like, it seems like it's 100,000 people on this damn beach.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's like, China for you.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, that won't look fun anyway. So it's like, they do stuff that kind of makes sense. And they do a good job, like, having the women do things. And, like, you know, Ruby Rose, like, it's funny because, you know, Ruby Rose is in there playing the smart ass, you know, tech person. I thought she was going to die because, like, the last two or three movies I've seen her in, she, like, Resident Evil, she died. John Wick 2, we swore she died. I guess she didn't die in that one. It's like, okay, you know, she's going to fall in the war. And then, like, a couple of times she fell in the war. It's like, okay, this is the time she's going to die, and she doesn't die. Cliff Curtis from Fear the Walking Dead, who basically can play almost any ethnicity. Yes. What is he in real life?
I have no idea. He's just always been around.
Yeah. And so, like, cause this one, he's playing like he's from Australia, and he has like an Australian accent, and it sounds natural. Like he's like I don't know if he's Australian or Kiwi, but if it's anything that's ethnic, that's not black, he's always in it. Like I remember him in Traffic. He was playing like a Mexican hitman. He's played, you know, Greek, Italian. He's played anything that's like swarthy. Cause it's like he's got that face where it's like he'd do that. So seeing him in there, and he didn't die, I'm surprised. Like, you know, that little girl was funny, and she was good. It's one of those, you know, it's an 8-year-old that's got the mind of like a 17-year-old, but it wasn't like obnoxious with it. It was like kind of like, you know, she said 8-year-olds hear everything, cause he's talking to her, talking about, you know, like, you know, what happened to your mom? Like, my mom's down there trying to save my friends. I hope she don't die. What happened to your dad? Oh, my dad left to have an affair with a yoga instructor. And you're not coming back because mommy called him an asshole. I mean, so it's like stuff like that. So the one thing I will say about the movie, and I know why they did it, I would have thought more people would have. I thought it would have been like a more bloody movie.
Well, like it's PG-13. So,
and I know the director and Jason Statham wanted to be R, because Jason Statham put it blunt, like, you know, it's a fucking shark movie. Where's the blood at?
I understand, but then he also just came off of what, Fate of the Furious, mm-hmm. And Statham's not a dumb guy, but that's a pretty dumb thing to say, because you had two movies where you guys were fighting with cars, and then you were fighting with a pipe wrench and a gun. So,
but he does have a point. It's like you see this big ass shark swallowing 45 people, and you don't see any blood. It's like yeah, it's kind of like, it's noticeable, but I know why they went PG-13, because like more people can see PG-13, and based on the fact that it made a lot more money than people thought it was going to be, going PG-13 was like the right move. It's like, it's kind of like they knew, it's like, we did PG-13 for that reasons. If we could have had it our way, if money was an issue, we do R, which makes sense for us, like, you know, Rainn Wilson playing like an asshole Elon Musk was hilarious. Like, he's the guy that funds the whole thing, and he's like, you know, yes.
Like, Tesla?
Imagine that type of person. Like, I'm this billionaire tech guy. I'm funding this whole thing. It's like, yeah, I know your friends died, but whatever. We need to keep it moving, because science don't stop. That type of thing. Like, he goes out there and hunts the damn shark so his company doesn't get sued, and doesn't tell anybody about it, and they don't get rescued. So you can imagine how that ends. Like, he's there on, like, an attack helicopter. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, like, imagine, like, and it's funny where his logic makes sense, even though it's a dickish thing. Like, we're not going to tell the authorities, because if we do, I'm going to get in trouble. I'm not trying to do all these lawsuits, so I'm just going to tell them we called authorities, and I'm just going to hunt the shark myself, and nobody got to know, and we just keep the stock options high. And that ends as well as you thought it would end.
So,
I'll just say it like that.
So what, they disturbed the shark, and that's why it's
back? No, it's basically, it's like, it's this lower layer they're trying to discover, and it's like, the water's a lot. It's like a cold barrier that's keeping the shark underneath. And when they go down there with a submarine, they break the layer, and that's how the shark swims up. And it's more than one. That's the one they throw off. Like, it's a small one that they think they kill, and then it's a bigger one that's doing all the damage.
So they took a page out of Lake Placid.
More or less.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that was at the very end. So
yeah, and the funny thing is, it's based off a book, and I guess the book has like, it's like five books in the series.
Oh.
Yeah. So if they want to do a sequel, and based on the money they make, and there you go. And they had enough people that were alive that they could do that if they wanted.
Man, do you ever thought, like, whenever, like, you find out, like, this was based on a book, and you just go, huh?
Yeah.
Like, wait, what? And then to know there's five of them? Like, what?
I had that same thought when I read that. I'm like, and people say, like, the books get even more crazy. Because this movie is crazy. Like, they haven't formed the movie, but it's like, you know, people say, oh, you know, we're going to be in a shark cage. Oh, shark cages are fine all the time. Like, yeah, but those are regular sharks. The shark the size of a damn dinosaur.
Yeah, well, man, and that's bullshit anyways. You've seen the videos of sharks getting mm-hmm. in shark cages with people. No, they're not safe.
And they say, oh, this is made of diamond hard plastic. It won't crack. It won't break, yada, yada, yada. And then guess what happens? Because it doesn't crack or break, she gets swallowed. And they're like, oh, that's the problem. It won't break. It won't crack. So that's why I'm swallowing it. Like, stuff they brag about how stuff won't go wrong, and then it's like, because of the stuff they say won't go wrong, it goes wrong in a different way. Like, that happens throughout the whole movie. That's what makes, like, it's a very fun movie. It's a silly movie that knows it's silly, but it's not like trying to make fun of you for watching it. It's not like Sharknado.
Oh my god, I saw a commercial on that note. I saw a commercial for the final Sharknado last night, which we were actually watching Santa Jaws. Yeah. Yeah, it's a Christmas-themed shark movie where the shark's teeth actually light up like Christmas lights. Yeah, so okay. Well, that's what happens when the Miz show is only a half hour. It's like before I pass out for the night, I'm trying to find something. Elise went to bed. She's like, I'm not doing this.
Yeah, so, I actually watched that show a few, like, the Miz show, like, a few times. I didn't watch it when it first came on, but I watched it when it was coming on after Raw.
Yeah,
it's fun, yeah. And I was just, I know I cringed when Maurice spent $500 on some damn truffles. I was like, I had the same look the Miz had. I'm like, they cost what?
Yeah.
I was talking about that work. They was like, yeah, but don't the money you spend? I'm like, yeah, I spend that for everybody, and that's like off, like, we getting steaks and side orders and all that stuff. She got truffles, and like, he spent $6 and she spent 500 and change. Yeah, and I'm just sitting there, I was like, yeah, Miz, I feel your pain, but that's what happened. You get a Ferrari, you can't complain about gas prices.
Yeah, it, the one thing is, like, I know he's supposed to be a bad guy, but the Miz is kind of likable.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's high energy. He's always, I mean, yes, I know they're trying to purport, like, this show is real. Okay, just stop. But it's still fun. And, like, one of the reasons I wanted to watch, there was that scene in the commercial where they clearly have this cake set up to die in the back seat. Mm-hmm. And it crashes in his, like, I guess it can lead into what we're going to talk about next, but like, his goofy-looking dad, who doesn't understand he has a famous son, and he goes, well, do you think it's ruined? And he goes, oh, you think? And I mean, it was just perfect timing. And I'm like, all right, I'll check this out. And it's been a fine show. It's far more enjoyable than watching Total Divas, or Total Bellas, for that matter.
Mm-hmm. Is John going to marry me?
No, see, if she said it like that, maybe it'd be enjoyable. It'd be like, John and I's relationship is so, it's just, look, it's on the edge. And then, look, and then Bree sitting next to her going, you guys shouldn't be together. It's just, he's the most amazing man I've ever seen, and I just don't know what I'll do without him. And the show's over because it takes her fucking hour to talk.
And then John's like, "Oh, Nicole, I do want to be with you, and I do not want to break your heart. But keep in mind, I do not want to procreate because my seed is being saved for Krypton." Or whatever Harry sounds when he's on that show. It's like, it's funny now. And I blame The Miz for this.
Yep.
When he's making fun of them, like, you know, John talks like this and sounds like a robot. Like, yeah, the most, I don't know what it is. Like, Cena sounds normal depending on what he's doing.
Yes.
But it's like, it fits, like, he knows how to fit. Like, when he was on Desus and Mero, it was fine. He had that dry humor, you know, he fit right in. When he's on talk shows, it's fine. He's fine in everything except for when he's interacting with women. And it's not just Nikki, because I remember on Raw, when that whole stuff with, like, Mickie James, this reason only lasted 2 weeks, is like, why is he acting like he's Shazam. Like, he's acting like an 8-year-old. And I was talking to, like, you know, Cam and Steve about it, and I was like, one of the things missing about wrestling is there aren't any sex symbols with the men anymore. Like, the character, like, not as far as, like, in real life. I'm talking about, like, the characters they play. Mm-hmm. Like, who's the last, you know, especially babyface, like, The Rock, that you thought actually liked women? Not like in real life. I'm talking about the character on the like the character on the show. When have they ever talked about liking girls? Like, The Rock and Batista were the last two people.
Yeah, one of the greatest lines ever. While you're out there kissing, hugging babies and kissing fat girls, fucking Batista, so great. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you're right. I'm trying to think. Well, Edge was kind of.
I mean, they had heels who did
for a while, and then that went away.
Yeah, like heels, they've had heels who did it, but like baby faces, it's kind of like. No, it's like, oh, you got cooties. Yeah. I can't talk to you. And it's just, when I think of John, it's funny we talk about John Cena as like, he's Shazam. Like, that's the character. Like, I'm a big, muscled up kid. I want to do the right things. I get a rah-rah speech. And as soon as I see a girl, it's like, ugh. And the only time, it says a lot that the only time I've seen semi-comfortable was when he stole Eve from Zack Ryder.
Yeah, yeah.
And that wasn't this, which led to The Rock making fun of it, talking about John Cena's going to divorce court, which was even funnier when John Cena got divorced in real life and blamed it on The Rock in the storyline.
Yeah,
I lost to The Rock and my life fell apart. I had to get a divorce because of WrestleMania.
You know what's funny? All right, so I've been trying to rack my head on this. I was gonna say CM Punk. Because they had that whole thing with AJ Lee, and then even in real life, he ended up marrying her. But no one, like, he just made his way through women's rosters wherever he went. But then that was all behind the scenes. Because on TV, no.
Daniel Bryan, maybe? Nope. But even now, then, it's kind of like, it was more like they were like, you know, women were like hitting on him. And he was like, oh, I'm just here to wrestle and do German suplexes.
Well, no. Remember, he was with AJ as well. And
no, even before
he was
a
controlling
guy. It was, wasn't he like, what, was it Gail Kim or was it somebody? It was somebody before the Bellas. Somebody was trying to get with him. And it was the whole, the Bellas is fighting over like which one is going to be with him and all that stuff. And he's focusing on wrestling.
Yeah.
And then it was like AJ stuff when he was more like a heel. That's when he was a heel. All that stuff happened to AJ. Like, AJ, just do my dance and shut up and all that stuff. But no, baby, they do not have baby faces that like women. And most of baby faces that interact well with women, they do on like the mixed match show. They marry, like, you know, Naomi, Jimmy Uso, Rusev, and Lana, like. You see that because they're actually married in real life. Braun Strowman, because he's always talking about, you know, Evolution's coming up. I'm proud of all these women. I'm especially proud of my girl, Alexa Bliss. And I saw that on Raw, and I'm like, yeah, if I'm Buddy Murphy, I'm going to make sure I'm doing my crunches.
Well, no, and he apparently has.
Because this wasn't a mixed match challenge when he said that. This was after it was over. It was like they was on regular Raw, and that's the first time they acknowledged that, you know, that stuff actually happened. Because it was almost like they almost treat like that, like an Earth 2 thing. Yeah. Like, yeah, we did this stuff, and we don't talk about it again. Braun Strowman talked about it, because it's like they've, in between that and the ride-along, people kind of know it's like, you know, they have some nice chemistry. And every every three or four weeks they bring up, like, you know, I'm rooting for Team Little Big, my baby Alexa to do that, which is hilarious. She's a heel, he's a baby face. That's the only time he's smiling. Well, Finn Balor can also make him smile because they're because
yeah,
that's just funny them being buddies.
Well, have you seen Braun Strowman's girlfriend?
No, I have not.
Yeah, there's probably a reason he likes Alexa Bliss too. They're two perky blondes. So, yeah.
We all have fights.
One's a lot taller, so.
Okay.
Well, since we're on that, I brought this up to Shahid Monday, probably. Just talking about how people have turned on things they like. And Twitter's, I got this from Twitter. And right now, poor Dave Meltzer put his foot in his mouth pretty hard. Talking about Peyton Royce. And I didn't see the original tweet or it was audio. I did not hear it, so it's paraphrased. Mm-hmm. But he was saying that Peyton Royce used to be better when she was smaller, and like implying that she's thicker, or she's fat or something.
You know, okay. I heard it's basically talking about, you know, both of them saying how, you know, they used to stand out in NXT. They don't stand out, nor they don't stand out on the show, which would have been fine. If he stopped there, and then he started talking about Peyton Royce, like, you know, Peyton used to look a certain way, and, you know, she was, basically she's saying she was more attractive on NXT. And then he's like, first he's like, you know, I don't really want to talk about it. And I always laugh. If you start says, like, I don't really want to talk about it, I'm not sure I should talk about it, or I don't want to offend you, like, anyway, like that, if it's a disclaimer, maybe you shouldn't even talk about it. Like, leave it alone. But it was kind of like he was hesitant to jump in the water, but he dived in anyway. And it's kind of like the just position is kind of like saying, you know, Peyton used to look, first he was like, Peyton used to look better in NXT. And then at the end, like, you know, she was smaller, she was thinner. And that's where the issue came in. Like, yeah. One, it's like women don't want to hear men talking about how they look in general. It's like, mind your business, uggo. Especially when weight's involved. And especially with WWE. Like, no, don't do that. And he actually knows because he apologized. And yep. He was like, you know, I know women have to deal with a lot. And with these unnatural beauty standards, they got to be in, like, tip-top shape every damn day. Because she was like, what you want me to do, starve? Like, you know, it's a shame, like, women got to hear this stuff all the time. That's how we go crazy. Keep in mind, this is the same show Alexa Bliss is documented had eating disorder issues. Mm-hmm. Natalya had eating disorder issues. This is the same thing where, on different times, Molly Holly, Trish Stratus, and Mickie James had all been called fat.
Mickie James called it the worst.
Yeah.
They called her Piggy James, for God's sake. I know it was 10 years ago. But still,
but it's like, think about how these women look in their build. Like, imagine somebody seeing Mickie James and, like, thinking she's, like, look at Peyton Royce. She's walking around with a six pack. Mm-hmm. And just like, and this whole thing is like, you know, it's not like he's calling her fat. Like, basically, is you can listen to that, say she used to look better when she was smaller. How you think, even if that's not what you meant, words mean thing. How do you think that was going to sound? Like, and that's, they probably hear that shit from Vince all the time. They don't want to. It's and the big part about that is, like, even with him apologizing, it's gonna be a lot of people jumping on that properly. Cause I saw Renee Young, I saw Beth Phoenix, and some others. Like, yeah, they jumped down his throat and they got the right to do that. It's like, yeah, if I'm a woman in WWE, I'm feeling a certain way. Like, shut up. But it's gonna be a whole lot of guys that's, like, going to use that excuse to trash Meltzer. Like, and it had nothing to do with what he said. It's like, I don't like him because he has too much power, and now I hope I can get him out the paint.
Okay. So, one, I don't disagree with Meltzer, though. And here's in my theory, and I've thought about this the whole time they've been called up, which I don't want to get sidetracked, but really fast, how awful have these NXT call-ups been? They're barely on, and they don't win. Sanity's on, loses all the time. Who else got... Andretti's been up, but now they got him in a program with Rusev. Okay. And that's more about Aiden English anyways. So it's like, why did these guys even get called up? I'm confused.
One, you got to start somewhere, and two, to get the check. It's like, people think of that.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, you see Finn Balor, you see Kevin Owens, like, you got to, people, like, you got to start somewhere and think about how, like, think about how Rusev started. Because Rusev was an NXT guy, and look at Rusev now. He had a title match a month ago. And it's kind of like everybody doesn't get to be Finn Balor. Like, you jump in from Jump Street, and you are at the top of the mountain, or you get in, or you be like the Shield. Sometimes it's going to be rough. And, like, you know, like, look how rough it was for Big E. And now look at him now.
Yeah. But anyways, getting back to it, we'll get into that later. But I think it's when she cut her hair. She cut her hair and toned her makeup down. And I don't mean like, she's not wearing enough. She used to do, like, kind of an exotic look to her. And it was, what? Like not maroon. Not mauve. What color am I looking for here? It wasn't quite pink. It wasn't quite red, her hair. And now she's got it dyed black so that her and Billie Kay kind of match together. And I think that's part of the problem with her. Meltzer's thought that she looked better in NXT is not lost on me. But I think it's more of from the head up.
Look,
is what
looks it's good. It's a way of saying it
right.
without saying how he said it. It's like, you know, even though you shouldn't be saying it anyway, but it's like, if you do, my whole thing was like this. Never mention weight. Never go there with women. Like, women gotta deal with, like, women lose their damn minds because of that. Like, in real life, especially in WWE, you gotta be in tip-top shape and all this stuff you gotta do and everything like that. Like, I remember Candice Michelle. She was, you know, having her push and everything like that. She got hurt a couple times. Her body gave out. She came back. And she didn't look like Candice Michelle. I want to cover Playboy magazine. She like Candice Michelle, you know, regular fit woman. She was gone within like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Let it go. Like, you know, you see the stuff Layla had to deal with. She talked about, you know, you get a certain age, it's just harder being in this tip-top condition. All like, it's tough. I mean,
I'm laughing because I don't know. It doesn't matter. It's so long ago. Things are different. But I remember we used to call Layla mom.
And think about that.
Bunch of dicks.
Yes.
We were the fucking worst.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God. I forgot about that.
You weren't the only one. I heard people making jokes like, get this old lady off my TV. Like, imagine how people would have talked about it. It's funny where you hit a certain age, and it's like, if you're really a mom, you get like that love like Mickey James gets, like, you know, this hot mom and yada yada yada. If you don't, just like, get this old lady out of here, like, she messing up the screen. I'm like, a man. And it's funny when you see Peyton Royce, and it's kind of like, ain't nobody on the main roster look like her.
Yeah.
No, I mean, that whole thing is like talking about, well, they used to stand out more NXT than WWE. I'm like, well, it's different when you stand in next to a Blue Pants in NXT, and then all the women on WWE were like, they all like supermodel, like they all look gorgeous, all fit shape, and it's all like you got the best of the best. But still, it's like you can put 20 women, like all those women in the room. You're going to notice Peyton Royce. Like, she has that, like, one, she looks the way she looks. She has that height. Like, and even Dave said, and they made fun, like, you know, look at her, like, I wish in the future everybody popped out saying, like, you're a hot-ass broad. I'm sorry I didn't acknowledge that. Like, she's gorgeous. Mm-hmm. People can say something about the makeup or anything like that. That's a personal purpose thing. Just don't mention weight.
Yeah.
And especially in this, like, now, like, of all times, like, you should never do that. But especially, like, you know, when you've had women that's dealt with eating disorders and like, I gotta fit a certain body type, and he knows better because he's been there long enough to see all the women that have had to deal with that. And now it's kind of like, you know, you can have somebody like Nia Jax, and it's not like she doesn't get laughed at. She's not a big fat monster heel. Like, she's a hero baby face. That wouldn't have happened like 10-15 years ago.
Yeah. Well, I think it's also a tricky situation. I know you're saying don't mention weight, but no matter how you want to look at it, until it's past this, the women are going to be subjected to it more. But then, even we talked about it before, the guys get ripped on. You know, someone gets fat or someone gets hurt, this and this. I mean, it's a, and I've never believed this they say you make your money from your shoulders up. And I'm like, oh, bullshit. Because there's a reason, you know, fat guys didn't get pushed.
But I would just say, you know? Here's my rebuttal. There would never be women that look that had the body type of the Revival. No matter how open-minded we've got with women's body.
Yeah.
Or Kevin Owens. Mm-hmm. Like, and I'll say this. It's men have to go through it, but it's a lot more lenient now than it used to be. Maybe like 2008, 2007, it ain't no way in the world you'd have a Kevin Owens or somebody like a small, or even like Dean Ambrose. And I'm talking about pre-D, not Triple H version Dean Ambrose that we got Monday. I'm talking about like regular version. Yeah. Oh, I definitely know. So I'm talking about regular version Dean Ambrose. Like he looked fine then. Now he just got out of jail and he's been doing his, you know, all the trap exercises in the world and looking like Triple H Jr. But it's like you can have more freedom with men body types now than you could then. Women is still like you have somewhere you can look like Ruby Riott and like Nikki Cross and even like, you know, before they wouldn't have like been on the main roster. Now they do because like. You can have that, but it still kind of limits. Like, you're not going to have, like, a woman that looks like a quote-unquote, like, a power lifter. Like, she has to be, like, exotic, like Nia Jax. Like, if you had somebody that had a shot-put body, I don't care how beautiful the face is, Vince is going to be like, nah, I can't have her on my TV. Like, we've gotten far that we didn't get that far yet.
Yeah.
So, the whole from the neck up thing, I mean, it's certain. I wouldn't say it's a 100% thing. It's definitely certain truths to that.
All right. So breaking on this. So apparently Peyton Royce tweeted out something about. I'm trying to find it. Apparently, it seems like a not sympathetic, but you know, whatever. I don't see it, so I don't know what the hell they're talking about. Anyways, Dave Meltzer said thanks for paying for tweeting that out when they can all learn from it, blah blah blah. So but then people are also saying that's not a real apology. And it just goes to no matter what you do, people are just gonna turn on you eventually.
I mean, because it was like I get he was trying to be sincere, but I also get the whole thing is like, oh, you know, yeah, I'm sorry. You know, you're a beautiful woman. I'm sorry you got to deal with this impossible body type thing. No standards. And it's still kind of like, you know, it's almost like, I'm sorry I called you fat. It's a shame that you got to look a certain way. And I'm like, her body ain't the issue. Like, it still is kind of like, just say, the best thing would have been is like to say nothing. But it's like, it's a way to kind of set that. Like, say, you know, I'm not a... talk about her ring work or, you know, makeup choice and stuff like that. Or the whole thing is like people been talking about this whole, they pushing every woman to get implants when they hit the main roster. Cause like, that's the thing. And cause people have talked about that too, saying, you know, that's, you shouldn't have to do that to like, you know, get ahead, like let the women, like it's, you know, Stacey Keeler talked a lot of time, like people kept trying to push her. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like, you know, she didn't and she stood out because she didn't, you know, and it's like now, I wonder if it's kind of like it's 28. If she was around now, would she be able to get a, you know, would she be able to do that or not? Because it's kind of like women should be able to do whatever they want with their bodies, but they shouldn't have to do that. It's like if they want to get them, fine, but it shouldn't be like, you know, the only reason I'm gonna get off NXT, like as soon as I get off NXT, I get my first SmackDown check. I gotta go to Miami to make sure I stay on SmackDown. Like, no, that's gross. Because I'm like, man, they said, oh, okay, Kofi, you gray in the ring, but you got to fix your chest if you're going to keep getting this push.
Well, I don't know. I don't know where I stand on that one, so.
Well, he's been around for like 12 years, and it's like, you know, people made jokes, and they cracked, like, it's a thing where he knows, like, yes, I know this is the way it is, and everybody made jokes about it, but it's still there. So, yeah.
Well, to get to the bigger point, because we're running out of time here, so, trying to figure out where this trend started, why it's going like this, and then also who or what is next. Because there seems to be, and besides this, Meltzer was on the list. Meltzer, people love to hate him now. You know, the pinnacle of wrestling journalism. There's nobody else. I mean, and I used to work for the Torch. And we have friends that work for the Torch. I'm not bad-mouthing them. I'm not bad-mouthing Mike Johnson, any of those guys. Meltzer's the king daddy. And he's pretty much the one that created this. Like, insider stuff like this. He's the one that did this. And I know you don't put people on a perch, or you're not supposed to worship false idols, whatever that thing is. But, I mean, you got to give the man his due and how well-connected he actually and truly is. People have, you know, just turned on him now. The Rock, we're starting to see people turning on him now.
What you mean starting to see?
Well,
that's the thing.
He was universally beloved for a while. And,
Well,
all right.
Because guess what? No, you know the problem you run into? It's like you're noticing now. It's been a thing. And I'm glad you brought The Rock, because it's like he was universally like beloved movie star, but you still hear, like, I made a joke. Every 2 weeks, we hear the comment, is The Rock black?
Uh-huh.
Every two, it never fails. It doesn't matter what he's doing, like, you know, oh, well, you know, that yada, yada. If it's talking about wrestling or movies, it always comes up. And it's kind of like, and now before it was kind of like, you know, is he authentic black person? Is he trying to pass? And then it was like, you know, The Rock makes the same type of movie. It's just always in the jungle or he's playing a cop or something like that. Like, it's always been a thing. We can just hear it now because of Twitter. But it was like, it wasn't like it's a brand new thing. People been talking about that, you know, because before it was like The Rock just making Disney movies. Or The Rock, he needs to go back to wrestling. When The Rock went back to wrestling, he's still in such and such spot. Yada, yada, yada. Like, it's basically when you hit a certain point, if you're like a fast riser, you're the pinnacle of something, then people don't, they're going to tear you down. It's like the whole build you up, tear you down thing. And the only way you avoid that is if you were already established by the time that whole thing started. So, like, because even like people like Denzel get that. Because, like, Denzel's like, he just plays Denzel in every movie. Like, no one avoids that. It doesn't matter what you're doing. If it's sports, music, even in real life, you know, somebody could invent the wheel and they're like, well, why didn't you invent rims?
You know what kills me, though? Like, that Denzel part. I don't like when people say, well, he's just playing himself. You don't know him.
Yeah.
That's why they're called actors, motherfucker.
I mean, do you really think he's like Alonzo in Training Day? He's just walking around making people smoke PCP?
Well, or do you think he's like the guy in The Equalizer? Or what was the one he played, like the half-retarded guy? The really smart, mean guy, whatever that movie was called. I don't remember offhand. Or let's go to this one. Do you think Tom Hanks is like Forrest fucking Gump? It's like, shut up. You don't know the guys.
Yeah, that's the mistake. Like, you see, like, oh, The Rock's just, he's never done. I'm like, okay. I've seen all The Rock movies. Like, imagine you saw, like, Gridiron Gang, The Tooth Fairy, Faster, and Jumanji, and think that's the same person. Like, no. He's just like, no. Like, it's just easy to say, oh, he's just in the jungle. Like, Rampage got nothing to do with San Andreas, except for The Rock running around with a helicopter. That's it. One's involving earthquakes. Like, one's involving an earthquake and him saving his white daughter's like 7 years younger than him in real life. Yeah. And the other one he's talking with a monkey.
Doing sign language, like, with a giant gorilla. Yeah.
It's this whole thing, like, everybody doing the same thing. Like, you know, it's like, and I always talk the whole thing, like, you know, I like Meltzer sometimes, like, I'm not a Meltzer worshiper. I'm like, when him and Wade Keller and Bruce Mitchell and all of them retire and die, wrestling journalism is going to look real sad. It's going to be all these fat guys that's all bitter talking about, oh, I wish wrestling was the way it was in 1982 when I wasn't even allowed to see it because all this wrestling sucks and da-da-da and sweating out their damn shirt. Like, people don't realize how it's going to look until that, like, I'll be at the age where I won't care that much, so I'm not bothering me, but I feel sorry for younger people kind of like, yeah, wrestling journalism is going to look I hope it changes for the better, or it's like people like coming up, or it's like, it's not the same person that just say the same crap, because it's going to look horrible, and people don't realize that until they have it, and they're like, man, I miss the good old days.
Well, alright, so, to keep on track, yeah, it's and maybe I don't pay enough attention, which is the only reason I'm bringing this up, but so last week, yeah, it was Batwoman, right? Ruby Rose got cast as Batwoman. And I'm like, all right. And for me being on the outside, I'm like, that works pretty well. That's a pretty big name. We talked about it last week. Check it out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now, and it's the same thing with The Rock. People saying The Rock's not black enough. There's actually people saying that she's not gay enough.
Yes.
She's not enough lesbian. I'm going, what? All right, look, I'm a straight white dude. And I very clearly, I don't get it because no one's ever come up to me and been like, hey, you're not straight. Well, yeah, maybe straight enough. But the people have come up to me and been like, you're not white enough. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? And in this case, I'm totally lost. The chick seemingly likes women. And I know she's apparently identified. She's fluid gendered.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
She says she's been like out of the closet since she's like 12.
Okay, yeah, and
you know what it is? It's this whole it's funny, like, you know, straight people got mad because like it's just pandering. It's like y'all just got her because she's gay, and then gay people got mad because it's like, well, you're gay. You're not the type of gay I like. Like it's one form of gay person. It's like the same thing on minorities. Like people just think when you're like a minority, you have to be this way. And if you ain't that way, you're not authentic. Like if you're not like Luke, it's come up in like Luke Cage, like, you know, they want him to be ghetto black. It's like, oh, ain't the Luke Cage. I don't remember because he ain't using jive talk and yada yada. Like it's more than one type of black person. It's more than one shade of gay. And imagine somebody telling her and all the stuff that she's dealt with that, you know, yeah, well, you ain't gay enough to play this fake comic role. And it's like, and of course she had to deactivate her Twitter because she's thinking she's going to get the job of a lifetime and she's going to get love and all these assholes jumping in here like, oh, I hope you go fuck yourself. You ain't even a real redhead. How tall are you? Can you do a spin kick and yada, yada, yada? And just the whole, we don't deserve nice things. Like,
yes, exactly it. We have all these cool things and we shit on it.
Before her, who was the biggest like CW star? Before they started doing the show.
Oh, my God. I have no idea. Probably, I never watched CW until Arrow was on. So
I would say, Katie Cassidy, maybe? Like, she did a lot of horror movies before she was on Arrow. Like, Laura Lance. Jesse Martin, probably.
Jesse Martin, for sure. It has to be him.
And Calista Flockhart. And, yeah, like, everybody else is like... And she's bigger than Jesse Martin. Like she's in, I just saw her in a movie. I've seen like four of her movies in the past. Like she's a movie actress. It's not like, you know, I'm just showing for 5 minutes. Like, no, she's in not this, I'm in a movie that's on Showtime. Like, yeah, I was in a John Wick movie. I was in a Resident Evil movie. I was in a Triple X movie. I'm in a movie with like, she's in movies. And it's like, I'm going to take this role and be on this TV show. You know, and it's, she's talking about, you know, she said she cried because, like, when I grew up, I didn't have, there weren't no characters like me on TV. And now I get to play one. And it's a lot of girls, like, I've never thought I'd be able to see that. And it's like, now it's like, oh, well, you're just trying. Why can't they make the woman gay for the gay agenda and the social justice warrior thing? I'm like, she's gay in the comic books. What the hell are you talking about? And this...
See, cause I don't, and it's, I know there's a ton of those people, but she's getting it from her own community, for that matter. That's like, got to be the most disheartening thing.
Uh-huh.
You know?
It's, are you really gay? Are you lipstick gay? Are you just gaying up from... And you know what I told you? And you didn't... And a lot of it's just because she looks the way she looks. Because she's dropped... Because she's, like, alien beautiful.
Yeah.
And that's where a lot of this come from. Because I told you, like, if she looked... quote unquote normal regular, you wouldn't hear half of this.
Right.
You still hear it, but it wouldn't be the big deal. It's like, oh, you know, whatever. But it's like people, especially with women, and it's like with genre stuff, you can't be too beautiful because they feel like you don't really want to do it. You're just doing it for a check. And like, because Margot Robbie got it to a certain extent. It's like, you know, does she really, she just getting there? Does she really want to do it? Scarlett Johansson definitely got it for, you know, black, she's acting wooden and yada yada. I'm like, no, y'all just don't like it because she's pretty. But y'all can't, y'all
always,
yeah, like she's pretty and successful. Like she can make a lot of money doing as, like, y'all can't, like, they, it's this whole thing with nerds where they want beautiful women, but they hate them because they don't feel like they can get them.
Well,
they never got over that.
But I honestly think in this case, it's not just nerds. Like in Ruby Rose's case, I think she's got getting it worse than for a dumb, and we watch them, a dumb CW show. She's getting it from everywhere. And this can go to the Idris Elba thing, to where he's getting it from one side, and it's white people that don't like the idea that James Bond is going to be black. If this is even true, which we'll get to.
Mm-hmm.
On this side, she's got the nerds saying, "Oh my!" All right, one, the uninformed people. Well, they're making Batwoman gay, motherfucker. There was a Batwoman in the 50s, and there's a reason that Batwoman never showed up until the 2000s. There's a reason for that, because no one mm-hmm. cared. So they come up with a brand new character, call it that. You got your uninformed. Then you got the people, and I know you were joking, but I guarantee you there are people that are going, she's not a natural redhead. They're going to have to put all of her makeup on in this. You're like, mm-hmm. uh-huh. And then the community that supposedly supports her, like, and this has got to be the worst one to me.
I'll just say this.
She's not gay, yeah. And it's like,
but here's the thing. I'll just say about this one, and I would clarify to say, it's probably not all of them. It's just you always hit a loud one.
Oh no, that's exactly it. So that goes for all of them, yeah.
But I would say, as far as kind of like, it's probably like a lot of it's probably like a lot of people like, you know, I'm glad they have a gay person playing a gay character, and it gives me joy. It's like that, mm-hmm. you know, that whole other real stringent side, like it's one way to play that, ignore that. The nerd side, that never goes away. They come out when it's, and it's always when it's gays, when it's every minority, when it's black people, when it's Asians, when it's gays, whenever it's like that, it's like, oh, you taking away my toys. Like, it's because we saw with the people from Star Wars. And now, like, you know, Idris Elba thing. And you know what's hilarious about that one? Because people came out talking about, well, imagine if Martin Luther King was played by an Asian person.
That's fucking
awesome. And guess what? You know what the funny, you know what the sad thing about it? It's not people saying, like, they treating James Bond like a real person. Like, no. It's not that they treating James Bond like a real person. It's just there's a lot of white people that treat Martin Luther King like he's a fake person. And that's the sad thing, because there's a whole lot. Martin Luther King is like Superman, like, oh, this black guy that believed in peace but didn't fight back, that sounds awesome. They treat him like he was a pacifist super. Like, no, he's a real life human being. But the way white people talk about him, you would never think that. And they always bring him up like, well, what would Martin Luther King do? I don't know, y'all killed him.
Okay. So I'm not blowing past your point on this, alright? Because you're not wrong. The idea that Idris Elba is going to play James Bond, if your first example is, well, then Tom Hanks is going to play Martin Luther King.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand the grip of reality that you lose to where you're taking somebody who's fake, and your first example is like, well, I'm taking this away from you, and, you know, this is mm-hmm. real. Like,
it's real.
I don't even know if I'm explaining it correctly. That's how dumb no, you it are. Is to me.
Yeah. It's the same thing with Black Panther. Oh, all this movie, all these Black Panthers, what if they made, you know, a white tiger? Oh, what happened if y'all had Malcolm X, but such and such played him? If Sean Connery was Malcolm X,
fucking
would that...
stupid.
Yeah.
That's what
I'm like, mean. I don't know, but I remember watching Genghis Khan with John Wayne. It looked fucking ridiculous.
Oh, my God. I had forgotten about that. Until I saw somebody had it in one of their threads on either Facebook or something, and I just immediately cringed, like, oh
yeah, that was me. I put that up there. When people talk about that, like, oh, how would it look? I'm like, it would look like this. That's how it would look. Damn, like, you Joker's been doing this for a long time. We all had to roll with it.
But isn't that the movie that they think got him cancer as well? Because they were doing, they like filmed it like near where they dropped one of the bombs in Arizona or whatever. It's like, oh, anyways. But no,
it's Idris Elba, yeah, like the Idris Elba James Bond thing is just because I don't even think he's even talking about, like, you know, I know it's a rumor. I'm probably not going to do it. Like, you know, some people said like the age thing, even though it's kind of like, we see people in their 50s running like, this ain't the 60s and 70s. Like, yeah. Tom Cruise is running around just fine in his mid 50s. Like, if you got, it's a Hollywood guy, I'm sure they got enough trainers where you don't age in city miles like they used to. But it's this whole like, oh, well, James Bond has to be white. Why?
Yeah. Was it?
Why?
Was it, I've never read the novels. I've seen the movies. So, some, actually. Those old ones are impossible to get through.
I'm like, Jamaican. Like, he can be whatever he wants. Like, it's a character. It's like, they have black people in the United Kingdom.
Well, he's from Scotland. Yeah. Which is what everyone keeps saying. He's English. Like, no, he's not. So, one, you're already coming from the position of being wrong. So, you're disqualified. And we both know what this is about. It's a black guy taking the white role. And, like I said...
I can't believe... Who would believe a black spy? You ever see a black person trying to blend in? Like, no. Like, yeah. Come on now. imagine Daniel Craig trying to blend in Hong Kong.
Yeah.
Like, they're not going to notice his white ass at the casino.
Yeah. Hey, hang on one sec. I got to pause this. I'll be right back. And go for it. But yeah, no, it's sorry we got cut off. Hopefully the edit doesn't look too bad or doesn't sound too bad. But no, the Idris Elba thing is exactly what we think it is, or what you think it is. I think it is it what it is. And I still go back and forth on changing gender. I think is becoming a no-no. I'm not exactly sure. I haven't put a whole lot of thought into it.
I mean, it's like if it's a the whole thing like this. If it's a made-up fictional character, why does it matter? That's always been my thing. Like, I've used, superheroes, for example, for the whole... How many superheroes have to be white for it to make sense? Like, Captain America, maybe Batman. Because, Captain America, a black guy's not going to be a symbol of America in during World War II.
Yeah.
And, you're not going to see, unless Batman is, modern era, you're not going to see, a black man of privilege that's going to have, those fun and stuff like that. Be, a bashness aside. Like, maybe if Jaden, the closest thing would be, Jaden Smith and Will and Jada got gunned down now. You would see that now. You would have saw that back in when Batman started back then. Beyond that, it don't make no difference. It makes if Thor was a woman, the whole thing is, what the issue is? It's because people will feel like you're taking away my toys. Like, hey, all my heroes used to be white guys, and now y'all want to take them all away. That's how it sounds to them. It's like y'all still most. Going from 100% to 97%, you still got 97%. They treat that 3% like it's 50, though. that's the whole thing. It's like, oh, you're going to take James Bond away, and then who you going to take away next? You're going to take away Superman. You're going to have him in a wheel. You're going to have him as from Lebanon in a wheelchair. And then what you going to do? What you going to take? You're going to take away all my stuff, and, this whole the white man will go extinct crap. Like, all the Marvel movies and CW shows, y'all gonna be fine. Like, oh, James Bond, Black, what are we gonna do? I don't know, watch Mission Impossible.
Yeah.
I mean, just do that. Watch a Bourne movie. Watch Kingsman. You have spot. And the whole thing like this, just wait 3 more movies till they replace them, because, most of the time, they have them for, 7 to 10 years, and then they find another one. So...
Well, and then, this is where I wonder, and this is because this is how dumb people are, because that's a very rational way of looking at it, is if I wonders when, if, all right, say he does get the job, does take it, whatever, and then they replace him with some white guy, how upset people are going to get. And it comes from both sides again, where it's a lot of white knights, and I mean white knights, by the way. So
see, the funny thing would be if they replaced them with a white guy, people are like, oh, status quo, they get over it. What would be hilarious if they replaced them with a white woman. You think people mad about a black guy being James Bond? You imagine a woman being James Bond, a broad? People would lose their goddamn minds. Cause guess what? Black men are black, but black men are also men. And that whole woman thing is I know you. It's sometimes a white woman's white, but a lot of times a white woman's just a woman. And you know how men in genre treat women. And a lot of times, no matter what color they are, they quick to trash a woman. Like, oh, how's she going to be chasing a bad guy? She got heels on. Imagine, you think you're not going to hear that on the message board?
The heel. Yeah, see, this is where you lose me. And the only reason you lose me is I'm like, Why would you say that? You know what I mean? I'll say, and this is something I've learned recently. I like saying really horrible things because they're hilarious to me. And the problem with that now is people are saying horrible things because they're serious. And they're fucking up my gig.
See, why do you think I'm cringe?
Hilarious.
Why I think I cringe hats on, because I know you're joking, but a lot of people may not realize that it's a lot of people that aren't joking when they say that. And it's like, they're going to be thinking, why should he be doing this show with this monster? I'm like, no, Jeremy is joking. He's not serious like some of these assholes that happen to look like him. They messing it up for you.
Yeah, it's taken me a while to figure this out. Like, I'll see stuff on Twitter, and I'm like, ha, that's funny. And then you see everyone respond like, oh, you're a piece of shit. I'm like, it's a joke. And then you look into the person, and you go, wait, what? Like, no. Like, get off my, not get off my planet. I mean, that'd be fine too, but it's like, yeah, man, I had a pretty good gig going for 44 years. And now, or whenever, but it's like, now, no. I mean, I'm not going to be this super serious bullshit. No, absolutely not. So if I want to make dead kid jokes, yeah, I'll make them because they're hilarious to me. But you got these idiots sitting there going, well, you know.
You know the difference is?
I'm selfish, I guess, in that respect.
No. So. You're not worried about being hired by Disney to direct a movie. So you can joke whatever.
I didn't even mean that. But
yeah, like, you can joke whatever you want if you can deal with the consequences. You're not running for, like, office. But, like, yeah, some stuff, like, the whole thing is why I laugh at the James Gunn thing. Like, if he gets his job back, whatever. And if he doesn't get back, it's whatever. Because it's kind of, it always goes, my whole thing is like this. Leave the comedy to the comedians. Certain stuff, it's a reason why certain topics only certain people made jokes about. Because if you ain't good at it, you get in trouble. And you know that. Like, and it's this whole thing is like, oh, when was it wrong to make jokes about pedophiles? I'm like, when was it ever right? Like, it's not like it's, you know, gay jokes in the 80s where it used to be cool and it's not cool. Or like certain race jokes back in the day where it's cool and not cool. Like, no, certain stuff was never cool. It was just this whole thing. I just want to be an edgelord and be all slick. And now all of a sudden, I didn't know they was going to check me out because I'm directing Underwater Disney's thing. It's like, you should have deleted that a long time ago. Even when you made your apologies, like, clean that up. Don't just have it sitting there, especially if it's like you walking around like, nah, you can't get me. Like, you just being, my whole thing is like, I didn't have sympathy for him because he was just sloppy. Like, if you're going to be all, your chest all out and be all tough, that's fine. But you got to know people won't clap back at you. And you just can't leave that stuff, you know, just easy for them to see that. Like, if he'd have deleted that stuff, he'd been fine. I mean, most of these people, like, you know the type of stuff you made. Like, the same with the athletes. Oh, yeah, you know, when I was 18 or 19, I used to talk about gay people and black people. But I changed now that I'm 24. How'd you change? Like, what happened to make you change? Like, and this whole, when I was a kid at 19, I was a kid at 19 too. You know what I did, Jeremy? I used to dress like an old man. I used to wear black socks with white sneakers. You know what I didn't do? I didn't walk around using racial and gay slurs. You want to know how I know? Because I was raised the right way. And I wasn't, they ain't like they were nine. These people are grown ass men. It's like, you know, he was a kid at 19. Oh, he was only 35. What you expect? You've been paying taxes for like 8 years. 35, you ain't no young nothing. Unless you a tree. A tree is young at 35 years old. An elephant, like a turtle, is young at 35. Ain't no young ass 35-year-old human being.
Yeah. See, I will always give kids, like, kids. And that's what, you know, when you're 17, 18, 19, you're still pretty much a kid. I know you may be playing college football. You might be playing NBA basketball. I don't think you can get in there. But basically, just because you're a professional athlete, sure as shit, doesn't mean you're a grown-up. I will give those people a benefit of the doubt because things do change. And like when you said, well, what changed or how did you change? It would be nice if they were, or one, if they did explain. Well, two, if they were given the opportunity to explain. Because I think a lot of people, and it's basically a lot of adults that are mature. Like, we're like, not everyone's so lucky to be raised correctly, and that you do harbor feelings, you do have, you know, hatred, you do have whatever you want to call it, you do have that at a young age. You can, because of how we've talked about it, how you're raised. And once you get around other people, and you're like, oh, fuck. And it's like, no, I'm not doing this anymore. But I think a lot of the times you just want to, not you, but people mm-hmm. just want to bag them without getting the explanation. And then if given the explanation, it's not good enough.
No, because it's a reason. It's a reason for that. Because there's some people that actually come out and, like, they actually explain it. Most of them just try to brush it under the rug because they really didn't. They didn't apologize. And the people that are fans of them, they feel the exact same way, so they don't care. So it's like, you know, why is this an issue? And I can see if it's something like, you know, yeah, when I was, it was the 80s, it was fine. And I'm like, no, certain stuff was wrong. Like, it was wrong in the 80s. We knew it was wrong. It was definitely wrong when they were doing, like, okay, I was 19 years old when I said this, and now I know it's wrong. Okay, so 19 years old, you was like, and you 24. So you're talking about, what, 2012? Yeah, this ain't 1983 when this ain't like the 80s where Eddie Murphy walking around in a red jumpsuit being problematic. Like, yeah, by the time you got to that point, you already knew you weren't supposed to say that then. And that's why you were saying it in the first place. It was never cool to use the N-word. Like, so I'm trying to figure out what time effort, like, like, and that's the one that's kind of like, yeah, it just, and it's like, oh, you know, I learned. Cause yeah, like 3 years later, I'm a changed man. So let's keep on moving. Most people, like, you hit, like, what happened? You, a black person gave you a lung? Is that how you change? That's how you realize, like, yeah, that's how you realize black people are cool. Like, this, it's not, and I know a lot of times people, like, real quick, and I agree with you, the whole thing is, like, people are real good to, like, punch downs, like, why can't you be like me? But some of the stuff is like, yeah, it ain't, like, nobody expects you to be Sidney Poitier, but, you know, you can be a dickhead without being a racist. Like, being a racist ain't being an asshole. Being a racist is being a racist. Being a homophobe is being a homophobe. It ain't just like, oh, I was just trying to be cool. Like, no, that's, it's levels to it. And they try to, and the whole kid thing is like, that only goes one way. And we can wrap up soon. It gets frustrating when you see people, you see kids that's 12 years old getting gunned down because they get treated like dangerous adults. Or you 18 is like, oh, I thought he was going to kill me. He was like, I'm a big monster. But then this other night, see, oh, he was just a little scamp. He didn't mean when he was calling them the faggots. Like, oh, he's just sowing his wild oats. What young people do in 2013? Like, what? Like, what do we, like, it's just maddening when it's a set of rules for them. And it's like, they can just let it slide. And then everybody's just like, you know, you just need to get over it. And I always get mad when people tell me to get over stuff. Because I'm like, they call young generation, and this is for the young people listening, and I'm gonna give you advice. When some old person my age tell you to get over stuff and call you a snowflake and millennial, just remind them that my generation felt such a certain way about a black person going to school that they sick dogs and water hoses on you, that, you know, they didn't get over it. So you getting over that school costs 500 times more than it used to cost for them, and you can't afford a house, you're allowed to get mad. Don't let them joke about your damn toast and have your safe space, because they ain't like us drinking from their water fountains.
On that note, gang, we getting out of here. You were right, we got to wrap up. There's no set time. So thanks for listening. I don't know, there's really nothing much on the horizon right now. I still have to finish a bunch of stuff, which ain't happening this weekend either. But
I'm going to catch that Mile 22 movie with Mark Wahlberg, Ronda Rousey, Iko Uwe, because we always support our raid brethren. So.
But we are going out of town for Lisa's birthday, so I will be catching a whole lot, hopefully some sun and water again, and good food from Charleston. So thanks for listening, guys. We'll be back next week, and the Sun Crane, all social media, all that good stuff, just look for us. And I'm out.
For Jeremy Mays, I'm Shahida Dohati, and don't call a woman fat, and if you do, she get to smack the shit out you. We are out.
I mean, unless she is. And then, I mean, that's just being honest with her.
I mean, she still get to smack the shit out of you, even if she is.
All right.
Call Nia Jax fat if you want. See what happens.